Everybody good? Everybody good? You want to yell about it? Everybody good?
Yeah!
That's good. That's good.
Jesus!
There you go. There you go. You know, I think fitting that we would be yelling on a day like today. We're talking about joy today. And awesome to see all of our kids come in and worship and stuff. Sometimes I love that. I'm excited about the message today. It's an exciting message to get to preach as we're talking about joy. If you have been missing out, you're just tuning in or whatever, we've been going through a series now for a while. It's really kind of been two series, but we've made it one. And the first half of the series was, what is the gospel? And the second half because we're finishing it today, is the gospel changes fill in the blank here. Today it's joy, and joy kind of flips it on its head a little bit. But we've talked about all kinds of things, just going back, and I'm not going to read them all off. I did in the first service, and then it didn't let me preach as long as I wanted to. Basically the first part of the series was what the gospel is. And the whole purpose of this series came out of just seeing this need of seeing people not really understand what the gospel is. That if I went up to somebody and I just point blank asked them, I said, tell me what the gospel is. And they would say, Jesus. Well, that's good. It's a good start, you know. But the gospel is a bigger picture than just Christ himself. The word gospel means good news, if you didn't know. And so obviously it's the good news about something. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But my concern has been that for the church, especially for those of us that have grown up in the church, grown up in the South, whatever it is, we're real good at just going through the motions and being good and churchy and all that kind of stuff. And then the truth is, at the end of the day, we're missing out what things are really about. And this in particular being the gospel. I mean, the gospel, that's huge. And so this understanding of what the gospel is, we've talked about, we did 7 weeks just on the gospel is and what the gospel is. And we talked about everything from it being the good news of Christ and what the work that he has done, that God the Father has done through him. We talked about the story of Scripture, the story of God. And if you missed out on that, we just talked about how, and there's 2 weeks on that back to back. And then it's talked about more even later on in another message called the gospel kingdom. The idea that the story of God is not just Jesus, but it is the whole story of God. It is all of Scripture. And that from Genesis to Revelation, we have one story. From the time that you were born to the time that you died, there is the story of your life. And it is filled with many different stories that many of your friends can account. But the truth is that it makes up one big story, and that is true of this as well. And so whereas we've grown up, a lot of us, and we've heard, would you like to read that Bible story or, whatever it is, and sometimes just even within the saying of that, it's gotten us in our heads thinking that the Bible is this collection of stories, but the truth is that it is one complete story. And God is showing us who he is through it. And so we talked about that. We talked about how the gospel is substitution, how it's not religion. You should go listen to that week, by the way. If you didn't hear that, Logan preached that week. It's one of the first times that Logan has actually gotten to preach. Unbelievable message. Unbelievable. We should go back and listen to it. How the gospel is salvation. Joey did that. Kingdom. We talked about the kingdom and the kingdom now and the kingdom to come, and that the kingdom to come really came when Jesus came and it started. But we're fighting with these two kingdoms, and which kingdom are we really going to invest in? Are we going to invest in the kingdom of God? Are we going to invest in the kingdom of here and now and the stuff whatever? And so all that stuff gets thrown in there, and then how the gospel changes. We flipped it and turned it into the gospel changes blank and all these different things. And we've talked about us, community, mission, purpose, Thanksgiving, work, marriage, sex. We did marriage and sex here about a month ago, here a few weeks ago. You can go check them on the podcast. Finances, suffering. Suffering last week with my friend Ridley, who came and told his story. And if you missed it, you should go hit it on the podcast. Basically, a friend of mine is a pastor, was a pastor. He just recently left his church to speak full time, traveling. He lost his wife, and then in a car accident, lost his wife. And then 4 days later, he lost his 17-month-old little boy to a medical accident. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you, but like I can't come up with anything that's worse than that in this life. To think about like having to go through pain and suffering, like what could possibly be worse than losing your wife and then losing your son, 4 days apart from one another. The beautiful piece to his story is that throughout, he was able to trust in Jesus. And he found out something through all of that, and that's something that we're talking about today, and that it's even in suffering, we can have joy in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of days seeing a lot of people, myself included, who are struggling with even just the thought of being happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, in fact, I ask you the question, you know, if I came up to you today and said, well, are you happy today? Or if I've caught you middle of the week, are you happy? Were you happy on Wednesday during the middle of the day? Was that like a happy moment for you in the middle of the day on Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday? You know, and for so many of us, our happiness is relative to the circumstance. And the truth is that God has called us to something bigger than that. And he wants to do something bigger than that in our lives. I mean, we can all come up with good circumstances, and we can change circumstances and do this or do that and, you know, find ways to be happy. But the truth is that all of those things will pass. And we can't latch on to those things when our 17-month-old little boy has been thrown from our car. For us to have joy is so important that it's a commandment. Did you know that? You go, I don't remember that. Was that number 11? I didn't get that. No. There's other stuff that we're exhorted to do in Scripture, and one of those things is that for us to rejoice. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at that. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. If you've got a Bible, I don't know if they've got stuff on the screens or not, because they've been having a lot of technical issues. Thank you to the guys that worked so hard on doing all that stuff. They've worked really hard this morning. Just to kind of go along with the whole like being joy, being happy, I wanted to share something with you guys this morning that has made me happy recently. Of course, it's an earthly thing and whatever, but it's one of those things that I've been happy about because it is the coolest thing ever, and it is my mongoose. And I know you're lusting over my mongoose right now. Okay, so stop lusting. You're in sin. This is a piece of my childhood. The majority of my childhood, anybody that knew me as a kid, knew that like the majority of my childhood was spent on a bike. And many of you heard a message I did, you know, a while back where, you know, I went to the pawn shop and one day and, you know, I always wanted a mongoose because they were like cool, expensive, and we couldn't afford one. And, you know, you do all these tricks and stuff on them. And then there was a mongoose and I bought it. Well, I got the thing home, and this was kind of, because I told you that the week that I bought the thing. Later on, after kind of investigating, because I think I told you it didn't have brakes, the brake kit is actually almost as expensive as a new mongoose. So here just a couple weeks ago, Pennington and I were going to a conference down in Chattanooga, a youth ministry conference, and I thought it fitting for us to try to take our bikes. And so I went and bought this mongoose, which is actually a pretty cheap one. But I went and got it, and we took our bikes down to Chattanooga, and we're like helping out with this youth ministry conference. So we got like the staff tags, so we go wherever we want to. And I knew ahead of time that meant that we could ride our bikes wherever we wanted to. And so like we're riding through the convention center. I'm talking about like the carpeted areas, there are tables set up, people are walking around, and they're like, what in the heck are you two doing with your bike? You know, I mean, we're riding. We're not walking with them, we're riding them, okay? You know, through the crowds and everything, and we're like Goonies never say die, you know, the whole thing. And love and life, you know. So just a little piece of joy, just a little piece of happiness for me right here. And that night, the first night we got there, and I rode from the convention center over to the hotel, which was like right next door. But riding down this sidewalk, which I don't think you're supposed to do, but I was doing because that's what I did when I was a kid, I had like a flashback, you know, to like when I was 8 years old and I was like, this is the life, you know. It was awesome. It lasted all of like a minute, but it was awesome. No, so today as we're talking about joy, I want us just to think about the things that bring us joy in life, and here's the cool part. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Is that God wants us to enjoy things in this world. He didn't send us here. Obviously, if we have a commandment to have joy, to rejoice, then He didn't send us here to not enjoy life. But the truth is that we have to do it in such a way that we don't make those things the idols or the gods in our lives, that we make Him the God and we understand what it means to enjoy Him. And so we're going to talk about this this morning. Let's look at Scripture. The three Johns at the back of your Bible right before Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're in 3rd John chapter 1. We're going to be bouncing all over the place. We're going to Hebrews 12 after that if you just want to stick your thumb there or something. And then we're going to Philippians 4 and Nehemiah 8 and whatever. All right, so, just hang with me. I just want you to be with me this morning. I want you to get it. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have them bring Bibles. Ushers are going to bring Bibles. My bad. He's pretty good about that one. If you don't have a Bible, throw your hand up. Usher will give you a Bible. Then you won't have to be left out, especially if the screen doesn't have it, okay? So get your Bible. Third book of John, the very back, chapter 1. Remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Remember that? Remember Don't Worry, Be Happy? Bobby McFerrin? That was on everybody's t-shirts in like 1987 or something. Remember that? That was terrible. It was a terrible song. I mean, it had a good message, but it was just a terrible song. Here's the thing. Like, I used to say it all the time as a kid. You'll love this. This is free. This doesn't have anything to do with anything. The guys start getting nervous when I do this, okay? Free thing for you. When I was a kid, I wanted a boom box. You know what I'm talking about? Boom box. I wanted a boom box, right? Because I wanted to look like Run DMC walking down the street, And double deck, high speed dubbing. P. Diddy knows what I'm talking about. So I wanted a big boom box. And so I asked for a boom box for my birthday. My parents get me, it's in my basement on top of a speaker. It's this little, it's about that long. And it's got one tape deck in it. And I was like, where's my high speed dubbing? Where's my EQ? But anyway, I got this and I didn't own any tapes because I was a kid. This was going to be like my first album to buy. And because I was always saying, don't worry, be happy, because everybody said, don't worry, be happy in 1988 or whatever it was, that my parents bought me the Bobby McFerrin album and were like, and here's your first album. And I'm like, great. And they're like, well, you can exchange it if you want to. And I was like, okay, let's go get Bon Jovi. So that's what we did. Slippery when wet. Man, it only takes 2 minutes for me to get way off base. Third book of John, chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. Check this out. This is good stuff. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Okay. So, just based upon this passage of Scripture, we're seeing a little piece into the heart of God. We're seeing something that brings Him joy. It kind of sounds backwards to our thinking. We're thinking, we're talking about my joy today, not talking about God's joy. I want to talk about my joy. We'll get there. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This is really a piece of just us seeing the happiness that comes from God when we are living out the gospel. We've been talking about the gospel. In a couple of weeks, we're actually going to do 2 weeks on Live Gospel. We're going to talk about that specifically. And 1 week will be, very much preaching. And the other week's going to be a whole lot of elements brought together of seeing the gospel lived out. It's going to be a really cool service. But for us to hear this passage of Scripture, I think there's a couple things we've got to recognize. For us to be walking in the truth, which brings joy to God, for us to be walking in the truth means that we have to know the truth, which means we have to spend time in the truth. I think for so many of us, we spend so much time looking into other things for joy that we miss the only thing that sustains joy and brings real joy, hope, and peace in our life, which is Jesus. And I know that that sounds like so Sunday school and so church and all that stuff, but here's the truth. We are so great at running after prizes. You know what I'm talking about? And the truth is that there is a prize that we are to be running after. And that prize is our relationship with Jesus. Something happened to me this week. This is what happened to me this week. I'm thinking about the 1 million things going on. Stuff's weighing down on me. I'm doing the thing that a lot of us do. You know, we get in these modes of, there's a lot of stuff I got to figure out. I don't know how I'm going to figure out. I don't know what the answer to all these things is going to be. And but at the end of the day, at some point in there, I started spending time with God. I was studying scripture and spending time with Him, and I was praying. And out of doing that, amazingly enough, I come out of spending time with God going, I'm an idiot. I've been like down, I've been whatever, and then I'm recognizing that I've been trying to put my joy in other things, trying to put my joy into solving problems. Men, this is us to a T. I would say almost every man in the room can identify with what I'm about to say. We were pre-wired. God made us where we want to provide for our families, take care of them, so that when something happens, you know, that seems like, you know, way off the wall, and we're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, and it's not fitting on paper and all this stuff, we get all in our head about it. Now, ladies, they'll talk about it a whole lot, you know. We don't do that, right? We're just going to think about it a whole lot. And we're going to walk around a lot. And you okay? Mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. We're processing. We're trying to put pieces together. We're trying to get things to fit. And the truth is that many times what we're doing is we're isolating ourselves into like making ourselves believe that we've got to figure all this stuff out. And let's just be honest with ourselves. There are things in life that sometimes we can't figure out. There are things in life, there are moments in life where we have got to trust in God. We've got to put our trust and our faith in Him. And if we don't do that, we put all this stuff on ourselves. We got folks in our church right now with cancer. One of my friends posted a video that he shot with us several years ago here at church, and it was when he was battling cancer, and he came out of that. And he talked about how God brought him back around and woke him back up. He it's so crazy, because I was just thinking about this video yesterday. I hadn't seen it in years, and I was just thinking about it yesterday, and then he posted it to his Facebook page last night. And part of it, I think, is I've been thinking about one of these other guys in church that's dealing with this right now. Just thinking about what's it like to be in that guy's shoes right now. Where do you find your joy? Scripture teaches us that we find it in walking in the truth. That's where God finds His joy. We're seeing that right here. He finds joy, not the only place, but He finds joy when His children are walking in the truth. God heals us by speaking through His word, and we need that desperately. We need to spend time with Him. And as many other things as we've got going on that, you know, seem to be therapeutic for us or fun or, you know, whatever it is, the truth is if we are missing time with Him, we're missing it. And all the joys that we'll collect together in our lives won't be enough to hold us together. We'll be kicking the rocks. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It's like so many people are like, just walking through life right now. And some days I'm this way where I'm just, you know, like, oh gosh, just things are so hard and it's this and it's that, or it's the economy or it's the, you know, and where's our trust in Jesus in all that? Where do we trust Him to provide for us? Where do we trust Him to be God and to continually be our Savior? The gospel says that we will suffer. That's not something that gets preached at every church, by the way. The gospel says we will suffer. Ridley stood here last week and told us the story of his suffering. And the truth is he continues to suffer in his life because of some of those things and other things too. The gospel says we'll suffer. It says we'll hurt. But here's the beautiful thing. It also says this. You may not think this is beautiful, but I'm going to show you how it is. The gospel also says that we're sinners and that we'll never be perfect. You're like, how is that pretty? That's pretty because the gospel also shows us that we need a Savior and that there is one, and his name's Jesus. What more joy could we possibly find in life than to be saved? To have our lives saved. I mean, you think about it this way. I know some of you are lusting after my bike. And let's just say that you came to me and you said, man, I need that bike. Like my family and I, we need that bike. I don't know why that would be, but let's just say you did. And you came to me and I said, you know what? If you really need this bike, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. You can have it. Because scripture teaches me that if I see somebody that's in need and I've got something, you know, that they need, then I'm supposed to give it to them. And so I say, you know, well, here's this bike. You can have it. Or even if you didn't come to me and I just saw, man, that family, they're not going to make it without that Mongoose. You know? Yeah, I know. But then I say, you know, so then I go to him and say, hey, I know you need a Mongoose, or I just leave it on their porch, or whatever it is I do, you know. But basically, I try to help fulfill the need. In that, and I've been on the receiving end of so many things like that, not necessarily bicycles, but in that, for so many of us, we can understand the joy and the happiness that it is to have someone bless us with something that we really need, to see how God might use somebody else to provide for us or for our family. It's a huge deal. I mean, the joy that comes from that, I mean, it just puts you in tears. I mean, I have one instance in my mind right now, you know, of something that somebody did for our family this past year, and they just don't really know just how big a deal that really was for us. At that moment, at that time, was a huge deal. And man, just what, I mean, we came home to that blessing on our front porch, and it was just like, wow. And just tears and thank you is not enough to what we were really feeling in that moment. And as good as those gifts are, as good as those things, those moments are, how much more grateful are we that God the Father saw that our sin separated us from him and said, you know what? I'm going to send my son and I'm going to allow them to kill him. To take the death that everybody deserves so that they can know me and have a relationship with me and live in eternity. And just reach down and just save us like that. Doesn't get much more heroic than that. And I don't know how much more thankful we could be than that. And so in the moments of our worst suffering, we still have a Savior, and how awesome that is. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's that prize that we're supposed to be running toward. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus. By the way, there was no 2 there before. That's man putting that in there so we can kind of find our place in Scripture. So this kind of just kind of runs in together. In sin which clings so closely and lets us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, and I want you to get this is the line right here, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, there's a piece. I have read this passage of Scripture several times. I'm sure I've taught it before. But there is a piece here in verse 2 that I have never really, I don't think ever really heard anybody really hone in on and talk about. And I'm not going to have but just a second to talk about it. But I want to point it out and bring it to you because I think that it's a blessing that we can see this and understand this. And it says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, talking about us, we're running, we're trying to do, we're running the race. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You looking for joy. I mean, you know, in us, and I'll make that statement a little while ago, you know, are you happy? Are you sad? Are you walking around like, you know, Eeyore in life or, you know, whatever it is? You know, we're looking for happiness. We're wanting to find joy. What about Jesus? Where was his joy in this? Where was God's joy in this? And you see this right here. I love this verse. That looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. And a piece of him doing so was because of the joy that was going to come, the joy that was set before him, the work that God was going to do through the act of the cross. That's an amazing thing to me. I don't know why, but I love getting to see that, like, I love just getting to think about, like, Jesus staring down what is about to happen, that he's about to be murdered. And that he, in his heart, apparently, was able to endure it. One of the things giving him the ability to endure it, or the drive, want, whatever it is it's so hard to explain because, I mean, he's God and he's man at the same time. So, I mean, he's God. So, I mean, he can do whatever he wants to. But just to get the feeling that he has a feeling that he knows that there is a joy that is going to come if he will endure it. And he does. And so, you know, throughout this series, what is the gospel? And the gospel changes things. And today, of course, the gospel changes joy, or really technically we're calling today the gospel is joy. And with this understanding that there is no joy apart from the gospel, I think we can get that at least. You know, for us to see Jesus and what he's done, for us to see God and what he's done, that if we could just get like the overall message of the Bible. I mean, if somebody came to you today and said, what is the overall message of the Bible? You know, this is what I would tell them. I don't know what you would tell them, but here's what I would tell them. That God saves sinners. God saves sinners. I mean, that goes real deep. I mean, my next statement after that would be, for his glory. You know, I mean, it goes way deep, but for us just to even understand that his mission in what he did was to save us for his glory. We need Jesus, and he's come to save us. Not only is Jesus enough, but our joy is in him and in nothing else. We have things we can enjoy. I mean, we can have joy with things in life. You know, Mongoose brings me some joy these days. But the truth is that everlasting joy that gets me through the moments when it all hits the fan, that got Ridley through watching his wife breathe her last breath in the seat of their minivan. Bicycles don't do that. Nothing does that but Jesus. It's the only place we can find true joy. And in that moment, in that time, and you hear him talk about it, and you heard him talk about it, he found his joy in knowing that she was going to be with Jesus. That because the truth of the gospel, he could joy in where she was, even though he was going to mourn the physical loss of having her with him. And that is huge. We need that kind of joy. That joy rises above whatever the economy's doing, whoever's the president. I mean, all this stuff. Gosh, I mean, we get so caught up, and we need to. I mean, we've got to do our part or whatever. But you know, we get so caught up in this stuff that we turn into these people that are like wandering around. They're like zombies. They're like, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I don't know. My life kind of stinks right now, and blah blah blah. You know, and it's like, we don't want to live life like that, do we? But that's where we're falling in. That's what we're falling into these days. We're falling into this doom and gloom deal. There's no doom and gloom. We have Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't have Jesus yet. Today can be the day that you can have Jesus. He came to save all. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to save you from your sin. God saves sinners. And guess what? It doesn't matter who it is in life. Nobody's going to bring you joy. Nothing is going to bring you joy. Your spouse isn't going to bring you enough joy because guess what? They're a sinner. Look at your spouse right now and say, you're a sinner. Like poke them right there between the eyes. Go, sinner, sinner. Now, and now turn around and look at them and poke them again right here and go, I love you, little sinner. I just want to see if anybody do it. I'd love to see like Jeff Hunt do that. That'd be awesome. No, it's, you know, and I think for us just to get that is huge. Like we put all of our stock in somebody else, they're going to let us down. Your kids going to let you down. Yeah? I was a youth pastor for 9 years. I could tell you all kinds of stories of kids letting their parents down. Some of them are funny. Some of them brought me joy. They were going home crying, and I'm laughing. I'm like, ah. You don't ever do that. That's wrong. That's sin. You know, and for us just to get a glimpse of this, for us to understand that the gospel puts our joy in Jesus and not our circumstance is huge. We're called to rejoice in the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes to us and brings fruit to us. When we know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to us, and the fruit that he brings to us is stuff like love and joy. So if you know Jesus, it's in there, but you got to go find it. And it's like, you know, down at the bottom of the box or something, but dig it out because we're commanded to use it. Jared Wilson's a pastor, and I wanted to share something that he shared. He kind of shares it after talking about a passage in Nehemiah 8, and we're not going to look at the Nehemiah 8 passage, but you can look at it later if you want to. It's 8 and 10. But he talks about this particular thing and how we have got to have our joy in Jesus first for us to really properly enjoy the mongooses of life. Okay, so here we go. He doesn't say mongooses, I do. This is what Jared said. I just want to read this little excerpt, and this is what he says. It says, we cannot really enjoy the gifts God gives us until he as the giver is our greatest joy. Otherwise, we will be left trying to enjoy his gifts for things they are not. That sounds like a lot of stuff in our lives, doesn't it? We try to enjoy things for things that they're not, rather than the things that they are. If I don't believe the gospel, I will miss out on the joy of the itness of things. Now he's talking about enjoying things here. I will be looking to these things as drugs, as appetite fillers, as fulfillers, as powers, as gods. He goes on, he says, but if I believe in the gospel, I can finally enjoy the chocolateness of chocolate, the coffeeness of coffee. Only the gospel frees me to enjoy things as they truly are and as they someday will be. You know, and that's just, I mean, that's a whole different mind change, mind shift for where we are. You know, for so much of our life, we're spent trying to find joy, immediate joy in things. And hey, nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. Nothing wrong with it. But when we try to put our try to make that be our joy instead of enjoying it, that's a whole different scenario. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to spit a whole bunch of stuff at you real fast. Philippians 4, verse 4. And it gives us a command. Are you ready? Are you ready for your command? Because this is like, you know, I know we all love like being told what to do, right? So like, are you ready for it? Because here it goes. Big old mean God is about to tell you something that you need to be doing. All right, here you go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Mean old God wanting us to be happy. Wanting us to have joy. Who does he think he is making us and then making us want to be happy? What's up with that? He's trying to give us the keys to finding true joy. And this is how the gospel changes joy in this world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6 ought to free everybody in the room. I don't know what's going on with you right now, but this ought to free you. I don't care. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Verse 6 ought to free you up. If you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, then this won't apply to you. But if you know Christ as your Savior, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is giving us the keys to seeing that true joy lies in him. He tells us, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about something a lot of us probably don't like to think about. And we say, well, I don't care what other people think of me. Whatever. That's a lie. Anytime somebody posts that on social media, I'm like, liar. Somebody posted on social media today just so I can put liar under it, you know. No, you know, I think for us just to get this little piece that God is concerned with what others see in us. Let our reasonableness be known, our reasonableness made known to everyone else around us. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about when you're out there kicking rocks with your neighbor and he's like, so how you doing? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Life kind of stinks right now. And, you know, got this and got that and, you know, this and that. And I don't know how. I don't know. It's probably going to be rough. But, hey, I go to this church. You want to go with me? Really? But is that what people see in us? Is that what people see? Do people see us act like Eeyore and we at the same time say that we trust Jesus? I mean, do we realize what we're doing there? Do we realize that our neighbor's going, no thanks. I've heard about those churches. I don't want any piece of that. It's obviously not doing anything for you. You know? But that's just it. And on the heels of it, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by the way, that means don't worry, okay? Don't worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which is pleading, begging, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he's saying, look, quit worrying about everything and take it to him and beg for him to do something with it. This isn't like a license to be lazy and not do our part. But the truth is that we have this amazing opportunity to have a relationship with the God that created the universe. And we're more caught up in that. What is that? Why do we even think that's going to work? Why do we think that these little instant joy pieces of, you know, I'm going to enjoy this and that's going to bring me all the joy I need, that stuff won't last. And it certainly won't get us through the car wrecks of life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And I love this. It doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just say, give all that stuff to him. It doesn't just say that. It says this. It's like this, like he's wanting, again, we're getting Paul in prison writing this, okay? So if any of us are going, well, you know, life's pretty rough right now. He's in prison, okay? In prison, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which, by the way, that statement right there alone, which surpasses all understanding, guess what that means? You can't fully understand it, okay? But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When he's writing that coming from a guy that is sitting in a cell, a cave, a hole, whatever it is, you know, in chains, and he has guards, okay? Think about this for just a second. He has guards, and he's saying that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's saying, quit worrying about it and let God guard your hearts. You don't have to anymore. Quit trying to do it all on your own. Coming from the guy that's staring a guard down, who would kill him if he tried to escape. And then he goes on in this passage, and I'm just going to read it real quick and just, you know, let you take from it what you may. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Well, that's a thought. Maybe I should think about those things instead of thinking about like everything that's falling apart in my life all the time. That's hard for us to do. I know that. I know it's hard if you're, you know, if you're facing cancer, if you're facing an illness that your spouse has, if whatever it is, if you're facing bankruptcy, maybe you've already lost your home. I don't know what it is. But I'm here to tell you that this isn't my word. This is God. This is him. He's saying, quit worrying about it. Take it to him. Beg with thanksgiving. Take it to him in prayer and begging and pleading, and let your requests be made known to God. What an opportunity we have to be able to communicate and have a relationship with Jesus. Think on the good stuff. Think on the stuff from chapter 8. And then in verse 9, he goes on, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and I love this, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Loneliness is one of those things that just creeps in on all of us. And the truth is so many times for us as Christians, it's doing so because we're just not spending time with Jesus. You say, well, Chris, you know, sometimes I get it. You need community. You need community, and you need to be a part of a local body of believers. That's the church. May not be this one. Make it another one if it's not. It's not some ploy to try to get you to join a small group. Just wake up to the fact that you have needs, and as long as you ignore them, you're going to be miserable. Who wants to do that? Quit worrying. Put him at his feet. Trust in him. You don't have to turn here, but Matthew 11 in verse 28 says this. You've heard this before probably. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that passage. Isn't that great? That sounds so nice, doesn't it? It sounds like a Sunday afternoon nap just on steroids or something, doesn't it? It's so nice sounding. Here's the truth to that passage. We'll leave it up there for a second. Here's the truth to that verse. When Jesus is saying this, he's saying this to a bunch of legalists. You know who legalists are? They're the people... They're the people that try to earn their salvation by doing good things. Not that we would ever fall into that. We all fall into that, by the way, okay? We all end up trying to do things without even realizing it. Sometimes like, why are you doing it? Well, you know, it's just the right thing to do. No, we love Jesus. We love God. It's the mission statement. Love God, love people, live gospel. It has to be in order. Can't be broken up. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, you know, when I've read that passage of scripture, and in fact, the SV says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when I read it that way, I'm automatically going, oh, he's talking about like all of us dudes are out here working hard. Well, yeah, man, I need some rest for working hard. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about everybody that's been working hard to try to earn their salvation. And he's saying, quit doing that. Trust in me. Put your faith in me. Quit trying to earn something you can't earn. We can't die for our sin. We can, but you don't want to. Take the opportunity that Jesus did for you and have a relationship with him. Have eternity with him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For so many of us, without even realizing it, we're trying to earn something from God. We're trying to please him, not out of love, but because we feel some kind of responsibility. The truth is that he wants to have a relationship with us. If you haven't gotten that today, I don't know what else you did. God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And where we find our joy is in knowing him, not anywhere else. Yes, we can enjoy things for periods of time in life, but the joy, the peace, that hope that sustains us long term all through the whole thing and provides salvation, saves us from our sin, only comes from Jesus. Thought it fitting to just share this at the end here, because this is the last message of the series talking about the gospel. I've enjoyed over the last couple years coming up with different definitions of the gospel, all really based around the same things, just different ways to say it. And I wrote this yesterday, and it says this. It says, the gospel is the good news of the complete work of God, showcasing the climax of the whole story being Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father to save sinners, which we are and by which we need saving. Maybe you're here today, maybe you don't know Jesus. I just want you to know that we would love to try to help you with understanding what it means to put your faith in him and trust him. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're a believer, but maybe you are just stinking miserable in your life right now. There is no joy whatsoever. Let me just encourage you to this. You're probably not spending enough time with Jesus. You may not be spending any time with Jesus. Maybe the only time you're spending with Jesus is you're showing up to church on Sunday mornings. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not going to do you any good. I mean, yeah, you'll get a kick in the pants or whatever it is, and you know, I'm glad for that. But true worship doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. It happens when somebody's life loves their Savior enough that they worship him all week long with all of their lives. So I encourage you, push you even, to spend time with him. Don't just talk about it. Don't just be about Christian music or, you know, whatever it is. Know your Savior. When you spend time with him in his word, when you pray and you take these things to him, you're going to find that he does a work in your life. And you need it. I need it. I needed it this week when it happened to me. I want us to be good worshipers. And the truth is, I want us to be a church that's known for having joy, but not some made up, fake, phony junk. I want us to be a church that's known for having joy because we love God and because he's changed us, because he saved us through his son Jesus, who died and gave himself up on a cross for us. That's a pretty good reason to be happy. And the only thing that sustains us. Let's pray together. God, this morning, I pray that as we seek joy and what that looks like and what that means, God, I pray, Lord, that we would find it in you. God, we'll look 10,000 other places some days before we'll ever come back to you. But God, I just pray that we would see that our joy is in you. Our joy is not in a moment at a conference. It's not in a thing that we can buy. It's not in a song that we sing. Our joy is in you. And it is because of you that we can meet you, that we can sing to you. God, just help us to see that. God, for anybody that's here today, God, that doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that today, God, that today could be the day that they might come to know you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, that God, that we as believers would be people that are not seen as bored and tired and sad about life, but God, that your reasonableness would be seen in us, that others would see us as lights, living for you on mission everywhere we go in everything that we do. God, use us for your glory. May others see Jesus in us. Lord, as we worship you today, as we celebrate your word, as we celebrate you through song, God, I pray, Lord, that we would do it with our hearts. And God, not out of obligation, but God, because we love you, because we have true joy, because you sent Jesus to save us. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for who you want to save today. God, work in their heart. Work in their life. We love you. We